Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Okay, we've been doing this podcast for a long time, but when I tell you I wear so many hats, it can sometimes be overwhelming, especially when we first started this podcast. I didn't really have any tech help. I was sitting there trying to figure out, okay, do I need this to get the mics to sound into this and the MIDI and the computer and all this stuff? And then the list did not stop growing, okay? So not only did I become a podcast host and producer and showrunner, we also became the owners and operators of our own e-commerce businesses, okay? Now, let me tell you, while that requires a lot and you kind of need to know a lot, there is a tool that helps you with all of that, and that is Shopify, okay? Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. You know, Shop Mama Likes would not be here without Shopify. Get started with your own design studio with hundreds of ready-to-use templates. Shopify helps you build a beautiful online store to match your brand style. Accelerate your content creation. Shopify is packed with helpful tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance your product photography. Get the word out like you have been have a marketing team behind you. Easily create email and social media campaigns wherever your customers are scrolling and strolling. And best yet, Shopify is the commerce expert with world-class expertise in everything from managing inventory to international shipping to processing returns and beyond. If you're ready to sell, you're ready for Shopify. Turn your big business idea into cha-ching with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at Shopify.com/argue.
Argue.
Go to Shopify.com/argue.
Argue.
Shopify.com/argue.
Argue.
Cha-ching. What's up, everybody?
What's happening, family?
Welcome back to another episode of Is This Gonna Cause an Argument?
What?
You didn't say it with me.
Oh, I was thrown off because I barely got out what's happening.
Well, no, usually you hit your what's happening faster. You took a pause, and I was like, oh. We're going to start all the way over?
Yeah.
What's up, everybody?
What's happening, family?
And welcome back to another episode of
Is This Gonna Cause an Argument?
Y'all already know who I am. My name is Angel Lakita Moore, a.k.a. Angel Tanksley, a.k.a. That Cheek Angel. My voice isn't warmed up. Sorry. That Cheek Angel. I'll give you my alto voice. I sing and host on this podcast. And I'm here with this guy, my husband, the father who just celebrated Father's Day. Tell him who you are, baby.
I am Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank, the other host of Is Gonna Cause an Argument. Hey, fam, if it's your first time tuning in, we greatly appreciate it. It's a podcast we do every single week. And we pretty much talk about anything we feel like it. Okay, we hit all kinds of topics, whatever tickles our fancy. And And a lot of times we just have a good old conversation. But anyway, we do this podcast every single week with the people we call our media family. Our media family are the people in our Patreon, and they get all the behind-the-scenes stuff. They get the pre-conversation, the post-conversation. Actually, we're supposed to do a live with them, but we're going to be talking to them about some other things that's going on that's not that the general public don't be seeing. And that's why we call them our media family, because we're a little bit closer. You can be a part of that media family. All you got to do is go to patreon.com/thatshitcangel, sign up for the low of $5 a month, and come on and get in on this goodness. And we also joined by, you've heard from one sponsor already.
We got another sponsor who, let me tell you, in the state of the world today, this sponsor is needed, you understand? And that's BetterHelp. We'll tell you more about them later on in the show. But also make sure you check out Shopify. They are a program, or excuse me, they're a business that me and my husband actually use every single month, and we have been for years. So when we give our opinion on them, it is absolutely tested, time tested and approved. So use our promo codes, our URLs, to let those brands know that we sent you. And obviously we don't want y'all using nothing that y'all don't need. So check out the brands that have something that you want or need, and just let them know we sent you. And then you probably get a discount or some sort of like special deal, because that's what we do over here on Is This Gonna Cause an Argument? So this weekend was Father's Day. If you're watching this in the week that we actually uploaded, this week was Father's Day. How was your Father's Day?
My Father's Day was excellent.
Was it?
Yeah, it was excellent. It was very chill. Got a wonderful breakfast. Angel asked me what I wanted. I said, I want catfish. I love catfish and eggs, but I've been doing egg whites. But this weekend, I decided to relax a little bit on my diet switch up that I've been doing for the past, 3-4 months. Had a great breakfast, kids, and they did their thing, and everybody enjoyed it. Miss Dorothy came over and we just chilled. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, this weekend was a lot. It started with celebrating my mother's birthday on Friday, June the 13th. I love when her birthday falls on a Friday.
Everybody does.
No. I'm saying because her birthday is on the 13th.
Oh, yeah.
I love when she gets a Friday the 13th, just to go against the connotation that it's a scary day.
My uncle's was on October 13th, one of his. So when his was on Friday the 13th, it's like, it fits.
Yeah. but having to organize all the stuff for her surprise birthday party. Then I went to sorority meeting on Saturday, was installed as the new second vice president of my chapter, then went to support my girlfriend's nonprofit, Zawadi Cultural Collective, where they were doing their Juneteenth celebration, to then driving about 50 minutes away, or riding 50 minutes away, Marcus drove to the engagement party of our good friends, Joshua Gonzalez and Imara Wilson. And then Father's Day came up, and luckily we already did his Father's Day like activity the week before, so I didn't feel like I had to have some like grand presentation on the day. But we cooked and then slept for over 3 hours.
Yeah.
On the couch.
Had no idea I would sleep that long.
Watched the longest amount. We had to rewatch Mission Impossible 7. 3 times to get through it, because we kept falling asleep due to being tired. And then I woke up, started watching it, almost got to the end. Then Marcus woke up, started it back over, and then we finally finished it. And then we were like, you know what? F it. Let's go see the next
Mission
one.
Mission Impossible 8 in the
movie. In the movie theater. So
it started. It's a 3-hour movie, y'all. The movie started at 10:20.
And guess who didn't
fall
asleep?
No, the movie didn't fall started. The previews started at 10:20. I don't think the movie started until about, it feel like 10:45.
Yeah. The previews be long as hell now. I don't mind. I guess they're like, too many people get there late. And we did. We got there late.
Yeah, we did.
This weekend was jam-packed, but I don't feel exhausted because of how much sleep I got on Father's Day. I had wanted to go to church, but I said, I'll catch him another time. Another time. All right, so let's start with our oldie but goodie. Let's do Tangsley Pride. We did In My Feelings last week. So let's do Tank Sleep Pride story today. Tell them what Tank Sleep Pride is.
Tank Sleep Pride is a segment we do. We talk about one or all of our four boys. We call them the Tank Sleep Pride because we are proud of them. They are our pride, our lion pride, you know, mess with our cubs. And that's what it is.
If y'all are watching, I'm over here. There's a sticker on my new water bottle. I bought a new water bottle because the one that y'all have been seeing me with, the stopper had been left that thing. So anytime it tilted at all, water would go everywhere. And I'm talking about it would pour out like it was pouring from a faucet. And because I travel with the bottle, I was like, this is stupid, Angel. Just get a new one. And then this dang on sticker on here is driving me batty. But anyways,
what's got you in your feelings?
No, I was just telling because Patreon is watching, and then people will watch eventually and be like, "What's she doing?" So, my Tank Sleep Pride story has to do with, or do you want to go first?
Go ahead.
Has to deal with my eldest son, Marcus. Well, actually, no, you go first because I now know what I want my Tank Sleep Pride story to be, and it kind of encompasses all the children.
All right. So I will start with Marcus. He went to a prom that was thrown by a nonprofit, one of our friends. She has a nonprofit that's, you know, it's.
That's the one I just was talking about.
What?
The nonprofit that threw the Juneteenth.
Yeah.
I was just.
Oh, yeah, the same one. Yeah, the same one. They do the Juneteenth, but they also threw a prom for basically all the black kids in the valley, to sum it up. And I think it was close to capacity. It was like I think there was a 90 or 100.
Oh, that's that room can hold more.
All the people that could fit, yeah.
No, that room can hold more.
No, but I think she only opened it up. Okay. I think she limited the invitations to either 90 to or 100 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so my son got dressed up. Angel took him out to get outfits and everything. And he ended up definitely dressing different from what he usually dresses. Not the pants, the shirt specifically. The shirt was it fitted him like very, not snug, but it was like a fitted shirt. He looked really good.
But let's be clear, though. I didn't take him with me. I bought and brought it home.
Oh. Well, see, I just saw him coming upstairs with a bag, and I thought y'all was all gone together.
No.
Anyway, so he was doing the whole modeling thing, so he figured out his outfit he wanted to wear. But fast forward to the actual prom thing. Now, Marcus, he be socially awkward sometimes. Like, he just kind of fades off into the corner, sits down, looks at his phone. But him and his friend Aiden's the one that, the gentleman that went on the HBCU tour with us. Mm-hmm. So they've kind of, you know, this relationship is blossomed. They like boys now. So after, and I actually went because I had to look at the photo booth because I was helping take that down and take it back to their house. When I was gone, Ebony, one of the other ladies that helped throw the whole thing, she sent us a video of Marcus dancing. They were doing the wobble or
Cupid Shuffle.
Cupid Shuffle. And I was just like, this boy is actually up dancing. but it's I can't get anything out of Marcus. Like, I will ask him how his day was. I will dig and be like, so what was this? What was that? Ask him how the thing was. Hey, it was okay. I'm like, oh, I heard you was dancing. Oh, yeah, I danced. I said, how many dance songs? He don't give me a lot. But then when Angel talks, I don't know how she's able to pull so much out of him. But I'm like, it'll be something big that happened to him at school. And he's just like, oh, yeah, this. And then she'll be like, did you tell your daddy? Oh, yeah, so this happened and that happened. I'm like, I picked you up from school today and asked you, how was your day? What all happened? How do you miss these things? I guess he's just ain't used to me talking because a lot of times I just sit there and I say nothing. But I be digging and like, hey, so what's going on? But anyway, seeing him go to this prom, and he said he's also very nonchalant. He was like, eh. It was okay. Did you have fun? Yeah, it was okay. Like, it wasn't okay if you got up and danced that many times. Like, you had some fun. I don't know what kind of fun you expect fun to feel like. But, yeah, just seeing him be this teenager and the whole dancing thing and starting to come out of his shell because he wants to come out of his shell. So I see him taking the steps to do it, and I hope he gets there to a comfortable space. But also, of course, like we were talking about, Father's Day was yesterday. And seeing these four different personalities out of my sons is very interesting. It's even their personalities always show up in the cards, regardless of who gets them. The personalities always show up. I know I'm gonna get something really funny from Marcus. That's always fun. It always makes me laugh. Omar's gonna get something mechanical, very fitting for him. Some card that's dancing. The one yesterday was Chewbacca, and he was sitting there dancing and doing all this stuff. Even the words that they specifically pick from, like, Sion Kai, everybody's card always fits them. Like, I don't even have to – they don't even have to put their name on it. I can know who got what card. But it's a very warm feeling. It's, I was telling Angel, sitting down with Father's Day and just watching them, you know, give the cards and stuff as we sitting there talking, like, every Father's Day is like it's emotional. It's just like seeing where they started and where we started and where they are now and just watching their growth. It's dope.
Amar has a gift for you. I don't know where to find it. He made one at school.
It'd probably be easy to find if him damn girls didn't come mess his room up.
I mean, they tore that baby's room apart. It looks a mess.
We're gonna put one of those little childproof locks on the door next time they come over.
Just pull out certain toys that they can play with.
Yeah, but they can't have access to his room. That's
right.
The problem.
No,
yeah.
I'm saying we'll pull out certain toys that they can play with, or set up a camera so the parents can see. Look at what they're doing.
No, they know. They absolutely know. Like, yeah, they be doing it.
All right, you can put the camera on me because this is an ad by BetterHelp. You know, there is a lot of stigma around men's mental health, as if their mental health isn't as important as everyone else. There's this, I feel like, a connotation that as long as a man is physically strong, his mental fortitude will automatically be the same. And if it's not, to be able to speak on it is displaying some sort of weakness that no man should ever display. Well, I'm going to tell you, that'll cause you to have a lot of suffering, not well, men, and sometimes in places of power, but also in your home. Men today face an immense pressure to perform, to provide, and to keep everything together. So it's no wonder that 6 million men in the U.S. suffer from depression every year, and it often goes undiagnosed. It's okay to struggle. It is truly okay to struggle. Well, strength comes from opening up about what you're carrying and doing something about it so that you can be at your best for yourself and everyone else in your life. If you're a man and you're feeling the weight of the world, talk to someone, anyone, a friend, a loved one, a therapist. I've benefited from therapy. So has my husband. We've both been in therapy separately. We've also done some couples therapy as well whenever we've hit like a tough spot that we're trying to work through. And I can tell you right now, therapy is worth everything they say it is. Just being able to offload some of the mental and emotional weight that is sitting on you that maybe some people that you're close to don't know about. Can be such a changer for your outlook on life, your day-to-day perspective, and your overall trajectory of life. With over 35,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 5 million people globally. And it actually works really well. They have an amazing, amazing rating of 4.9 out of 5 based over 1.7 million client reviews. That's a lot of people that are giving a lot of great reviews. It's convenient too. You can join a session with your therapist with just a click of a button, and helping you fit therapy into your busy life is something that BetterHelp definitely takes seriously. That's why they make it so convenient, and you can switch therapists at any time. As the largest online therapy provider in the world, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a diverse variety of expertise. Talk it out with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/argue.
Argue.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/argue.
Argue.
Okay. Anyways, so my Take Sleep Pride story. This is what's going on. Originally, there was going to be no long stay in Kentucky this summer. And that was because, for the boys, that's because little Marcus, this is the summer before his junior year. There's a lot of things that I have to help him, we have to help him get accomplished. Training to be able to take his driver's test, tutoring for the SAT and the ACT, speech therapy, because that's something that he's been wanting to do, as well as he wants to bulk up over the summer. These are all things that, yes, in theory, oh, and he also needs to be doing community service. In theory, he could do all these things in Kentucky, but in reality, it won't happen. These things only are going to happen with the persistence of me on him and his dad helping him. Like, there's just not, it's not going to happen with granny or cousins or aunts. It's just not. So, we were recently talking to, I think I was talking to Victory in, at Josh and Imar's engagement party. And we were talking about, she was like, yeah, the twins were upset that they're not getting to do a longer trip in Kentucky, but they're hoping that Micah, their cousin, gets to come back with them. And I was like, he can, but he can only stay for a couple of days because the summer is always my busiest traveling time. I get booked for work. We travel for our anniversary. This is the Delta's national convention. So all things that I do, and then I'm like this week, I'm traveling for work. The whole family's come in with me, but we just travel a lot during this time. But I was like, I could just send the younger kids, but the problem is little Marcus is a huge part of the child care equation in Kentucky. So if nobody is able to be at my mother-in-law's house when the little kids are there, as long as little Marcus is there, it's Gucci. Well, without him there, what are we going to do? So anyways, we started to kind of problem solve, or actually maybe create a bigger problem about, okay, how can we make it work if the kids go to Kentucky? And it wouldn't be for 3 weeks. Me and my mother actually calculated it. It'd be 4 weeks. It'd be a month. This is the longest that we'll have ever stayed in Kentucky without us. But here is the thing that we're trying to figure out. There is a week in July where Marcus and I will be out of the country for our anniversary trip. We would not want little Marcus to be in California by himself during that time. Well, it that same week also quasi overlaps with this Jack and Jill program that at one point in time I thought about signing him up for, but then I didn't, call Jack's in the House. It is where they send boys who applied via Jack and Jill to spend a week at Morehouse, seeing what it really feels like to be a student at Morehouse. And then they do the same thing with the girls. They have Jill's at Spelman. The girls get to go to Spelman for a week and see what it's like to be at Spelman. Well, that application closed back in March. They made their decisions in April. But I'm like, I must see if they have a spot that he can take. Because if we don't do that, I have to figure out, like, what is he going to do during that week of time. Like, everything starts to get expensive, obviously. Like, to try to fly him into Kentucky, that means we got to get two tickets into Kentucky. And then I wouldn't be available to take him. My husband would have to take him. Then my husband had to fly back to California. That's a round trip ticket that we just randomly bought. So it's just all these, like,
your mom's not in town?
She's going to be missing for a part of that.
Yeah. That's right.
She'll be there for some of it, but missing for a part of it. So trying to figure out how we're going to do this, if it's even possible. We actually need to figure it out in the next couple of days because, again, we're all going to Kentucky this week because of Soul Feast that I'll be hosting in Lexington. So if you're in town, please check it out. So our thing is, well, if everybody's already flying, ain't no reason to fly up there, bring the kids back just to send them back
in a couple of weeks.
So, like, we got to get answers to. We got to see if Marcus's niece is still without gainful employment, because if she is, okay, we have the person that can help us throughout the week.
Yeah.
Also,
with the youngest ones. Yeah.
Also, are they going to camp? Are we sending them to camp? Okay, if we are, can Amar go to camp this year? Is he old enough? If he's not, where the hell are we sending him? Last year he went to daycare with his other cousin. I don't know if that cousin is going to daycare. So it's like a whole bunch of like pieces that I'm like, ooh, Lord Jesus. So anyways, my Tanksley Pride story is I just put myself into a huge like mess of questions that I would have already had answered by now had I thought of that as a possibility before. And not to mention, our anniversary trip is still not planned. I think I know where we're going. I have to figure out the hotel. I know our travel agent said, well, I can help you do all of that. It's just all about, okay, how quickly, though? How quickly can I get all that done? It's just a lot. Plus, I'm purchasing all these daggone clothes for a teen conference for little Marcus. Don't know what that's going to be like. It's just a lot. So that's my Tanksley Pride story. Feel free to chime in on what you think we should do, because by Wednesday, I'll probably still try to figure this out. So anyways, moving on. What I wanted to talk about, and I don't know if it's the TikTok o'clock or if it's the main episode, conversation. A lot of people have either completely ignored this or enthralled with it. But as you all know, probably the trial of maybe the decade in Black culture is happening right now with the federal government prosecuting Sean Carter, a.k.a. P. Diddy. No, that's not. Though that's Jay-Z's name is Sean Carter.
Yeah.
Sean Combs.
Sean Combs. Biggest thing since OJ.
For Black folk, yeah. This is a huge trial. And they're already 22 days in. Well, you know, a lot of people are watching that Young Thug. Was it Young Thug?
Yeah, but this is definitely, because so many more people know who he is.
Yeah. So we've been, I have been watching only Melanie Goosby. I'm not a lawyer, but on TikTok, as you all know, we're friends with the Goosbys, and she's had the opportunity to actually sit in the main trial room, the courtroom, and see things firsthand. And she does a great job of reporting back. But based off of what they're charging him with, Marcus, I want to know, do you think he will get on or off? And do you want me to give you the exact name of what?
He's charged with the RICO, right?
He's also charged with trafficking. He's charged, I think, with two things. But so, one is encompassing everything.
Yeah. So one thing, I'll tell you that. But first I'll say, because I was going over everything and also listening to Mel, because she's literally the only source that we go to for this trial.
Can I tell you?
Yeah.
Real quick. His charges include racketeering, sex trafficking, and transportation to engage in prostitution. So I think RICO is just the way to all encompass it, but I don't see the word
so
RICO.
When I was I was talking to Mel about this, because I was looking at specific things, and it's all even my mindset when I'll tell you how it linked to the Meg Thee Stallion thing, my thought process for this Diddy thing. Well, I'll start with the Meg thing. It's like when she got shot and it involved, it had something to do with Tory Lanez and the whoever else was in the car, and everybody was in a big hoopla and everything. I was like, this happened in California. Regardless of what they said in that car, somebody's going to jail because a firearm was illegally discharged in public. Mm-hmm. It don't matter what they say happened. It doesn't matter. Somebody's going to jail. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't even chime in on people's thought process. Well, now this, now that. Well, they said this. The state is going to come for somebody because this is something that happened. Who was in possession of it? We'll send all y'all. We don't know. Even the person that got shot might even go dead. Like, we don't know. Somebody going to go to jail. So then fast forward to the Diddy thing, and I was sitting there and going through this whole process and, of course, listening to mail. And during this whole process, as y'all know, I'm a gun enthusiast. They were saying that, you know, during the raid of his house, they found, like, multiple assault weapons across in different states with multiple guns, period, with the serial number filed off. That's at least 5 to 15 for one, let alone multiple. So I was like, it don't matter what comes of this. He's going to jail regardless. They were all found in his residence that he owns. That's point blank, period. So I was talking to Mel about this, and she was like, normally, yes. However, because this is a RICO thing, if they can't prove that all of this is wrapped up in one bundle, if the guns ain't connected to him trafficking and drugs and assault, and the salt ain't connected to the other thing, it has to be a complete circle, he walks away scot-free. And I said, that is freaking insane that any attorney would say, no, let's go for the biggest thing wrapped up in one versus why don't we just charge him with 50 different things? Something gonna stick. But in this particular instance, if something don't stick, none of it sticks. Which is, if that's the way I'm understanding it, and that's the from my conversation with Mel, who's not a lawyer, but she low-key a lawyer, that's my understanding. I'm like, that, if I'm prosecution, if I was on that team, I'm like, no, y'all are some idiots. I know y'all trying to go for the maximum, but if you can get a consecutive 3 years for this, 8 for that, 6 months probation, 15 for this, let all that add up and him serve that consecutively versus, no, we going for the biggest big. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. So back to your question, do I think he's going to end up serving time? With the whole RICO, I'm leaning toward no.
Clear up something because I'm having to read it. So the racketeering is the RICO portion.
Uh-huh.
But the other two things are not.
So assault? No.
No.
It was
It is.
What's in the RICO versus what's separate from the RICO?
Okay, so let me put it like this. Let me tell you the exact definition of racketeering. Cause that's RICO. RICO is from racketeering.
Yeah.
So racketeering is a set of illegal activities that are fraudulent.
Uh-huh.
So fraud, extortion, bribery, threats, violence, illegal means, basically. Mm-hmm. That can be disguised as legitimate business things. Now, RICO specifically is an act.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Racketeering Influence and Corrupt Organization Act.
Mm-hmm.
So the racketeering falls under the RICO.
Okay.
However, what is different, or the thing that doesn't fall underneath it? Sorry, I've got 50 million tabs open. I'm trying to go to the tab that had the information about Jesus. I'm never going to find it. So he has prostitution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And traveling across. I'm sorry, I got to pull up another tab because I can't find it.
Yeah, traveling across state lines with drugs.
No. It's all all has to do with prostitution.
Okay. The trafficking thing, I could see it happening because by definition, these people were sex workers.
But he's not their pimp. So to engage with a prostitute is one thing, but to pimp out somebody is another. So that's the reason why the Jane Doe woman's testimony was supposed to be so important is, was she his prostitute?
Oh.
Do you get what I'm saying? Was she being paid for her sexual acts with another person and was in with her sexual acts with another person? So trying to figure out, was this all consensual,
mm-hmm.
or was she being like coerced into doing these things?
Yeah.
So, okay. Sex trafficking and transportation to engage in prostitution. There we go. Sorry, those were the other two.
But if he's flying her out.
Well, it's like, it's the duality of her being his girlfriend. So it's one thing to be like, this is my boyfriend or husband, and this is the freaky stuff we like to do. That's not prostitution. That is you being like, this is the lifestyle we like. We are kind of like swingers. Versus, I wanted to be with this man, but he's telling me the only way I can be with him is if.
Yeah. And that's what feels like Oland, because she's basically, she has it, unlike Cassie, this lady has it in email and text and everything else of, I only want it to be us. I don't want to do this with anybody else. He's like, all right, bet. She comes to them, and then he's like, well, you're already here, and this is already set up, so now we're doing this.
It's the both happen, but both happen. There is the I only wanted to be us into, okay, I'm going to call this guy so he can come. So both happening in the defense and the prosecution have to convince the jury of, you know, which one should be the more important one. So the if convicted of racketeering, he can face up to life in prison.
Yeah.
If he gets the found guilty of sex trafficking, the minimum sentence is 15 years. Transportation for the purposes of prostitution carries a maximum of 10 years. So the racketeering one, that's the one, like you said, the one that's like the RICO one, mm-hmm. is the one that I think, okay, that one might not hold because of all the things they have to prove, but I don't know. I feel like he's going to serve some time.
I feel like he's going to serve a very, he might get probation or maybe even 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that's, and back to my original statement, that's where I feel like that they messed up. Like, because they, now granted, the whole RICO thing, they probably came up with that because of some drug dealers doing some
stuff. From the mafia.
But yeah, from the mafia. But the difference is a lot of people, not all, but a lot of people that was in the mafia, that was their job, was being part of the mafia. Now, you had some politicians that's mafias, like, okay. But with him, it's too many loopholes. There's way too many loopholes. And when you on a jury, they make you dial it down due to the specific thing of, was it this, though? I mean, but it no, it ain't no but. Was it this? And that's where I feel like they messed up. I don't think he's going to get nearly as much time as people think. Now, as far as his career and lifestyle, I don't know of anybody that's going to want to even come within 10 feet of him, even 20 years from now, which is like, you disgusting. Like, even in your own culture and your own peers, ain't no dude, nobody wants to be affiliated with.
He going to be in Bali with Russell.
It's... ugh, the stuff that this man done and wants done and likes done, Russell is gone, ain't he?
Yeah, he ain't coming back over here. He is not coming back over here.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to do something, but it's not going to be, it's going to be very minimal for all the stuff that we hearing. I'm going to take these out while I'm talking so you ain't mad at me. All the stuff that we hearing that he's doing, it's going to be like, that's all, that's it, because this is what happens. Like Weinstein, that's a very rare case where you see somebody of that level and that power get what they ended up getting.
Well, oh, did he already get convicted?
Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, the other one.
The other one, excuse me. No, Harvey Weinstein. I don't think his trial has even
happened.
What's
the other one?
He's dead. The other one committed suicide.
Yeah. Well, him too. He in jail, he committed suicide.
Oh, no, you're right. Supposedly. Harvey Weinstein was found guilty of. But I could have sworn he's supposed to be going back to court because that was just one thing. But he's sentenced to 23 years in prison.
Oh, Weinstein is the one that ended himself.
No, Weinstein is alive.
Oh. So they are. Y'all telling me wrong? Yeah. Okay. He alive. The other one ended up, supposedly. That's supposedly, ended himself, and Weinstein is serving. But again, that's a rare thing when you got people of that much power, because a lot of these systems, they have loopholes. It seems like to specifically let people of power get through. This is why we have this idiot in office right now. It's just like, no, these loopholes are created for them. So, like I said, for the general public, Epstein. For the general public,
Steins, that
one. Look, I said the other one. For the general public, what he ends up getting, in my opinion, what he ends up getting, we're going to be like, that's it? Are you serious? For him, it's going to seem like a lot. Mm-hmm. Just from the way, even the way Mel was saying that he, you know, acts in the courtroom, was just like, no, he seems like, he feels like he's acting as if he's already free. Like, y'all wasting y'all's time.
Well, everybody's saying in here they think that number 47 will pardon him.
I'd see that happening too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't, look, this is sign of the times. It's going to be a reckoning. I don't know if how soon, but either we the people going to get fed up or they just going to end up doing what they want to do, and it's going to drastically, regardless, this country is going to drastically change.
Yeah, I, you know, I think for a lot of men, the Me Too movement was something they never foresaw happening. They just never thought that women telling their story when they were in places of power would have any type of repercussion. For though the crunch is loud, and I'm only saying it because you are in the mic, because I get it. Anyways, and especially, so the Me Too movement happened in the Hollywood in film, in television world. And the reason why I feel like it was able to actually happen and stick is because we do actually have oversight. We have unions in film, television. They have the PGA. That's the world, the professional golf.
SAG.
Yeah, we have the DGA. We have WGA. We have SAG-AFTRA. We also have a producers, like, quasi-like union. Excuse me. So there are some entities that should be protecting the people that are members of it. In the music industry, a lot of it is still the Wild Wild West. That's why payment structure changes. So with streaming, so many things change. And it's truly the Wild Wild West where if you, not just that it's the Wild Wild West, it still has a lot of drug money inside of it. Mm-hmm. It still has a lot of like criminal activity that, violent criminal activity, because Hollywood has criminal activity too, but violent criminal activity that's still very much so linked to how it operates. So again, when you're in the music industry especially, I feel like people felt like they were untouchable.
Yeah. It's been that way for so long.
Yeah.
It's like both Hollywood and music industry, like, when this Me Too movement happened, didn't nobody see that coming?
No.
People's, their parents, their grandparents, and great-grandparents all did the same thing. It's like, why would it possibly change now? What's the difference? Yeah. So for it to be this culture-altering thing, movement to happen, it's like, wait, what? Even the way... I was telling Angel this the other day. The West Coast music that I grew up with, a majority of it, I didn't understand. Like, you have, a heterosexual male talk about women so bad that it seems like they didn't like women. Mm-hmm. Like, it seemed like a disdain for women. And even back then, I was just like, this don't make sense to me. Like, this don't make sense at all. But you have that whole culture and the way everything was moving, even in interviews, even on TV. Like, I was watching an episode of Happy Days. It was on TV. This is, I think, early last year or something. And there was a scene. It was around Christmas time, and they had a mistletoe following it around, making girl, like, the dude not LaFon's, but the son was walking around making girls. Girls was trying to get away. They would block her in the booth and make them kiss the guys before they got out of the booth. I was just like, didn't none of this age well. It was like, God dang. But then, you know, it was the culture.
Well, there's also in Hollywood, there was a known thing called the casting couch.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning this is the way that a lot of young women and men would have to book jobs, was by doing favors on the casting couch.
And the boats. I heard about the yachts.
What about the boats and the yachts?
You go out to sign that contract, and let's say everything happens on that boat out in the lake or wherever they go, and that decides whether you come back with a signed contract or not.
I never heard of that, and I also have never been propositioned by any casting director because I would be a star by now. No, but I remember when all that happened, when the Me Too movement happened, I was in a couple of different groups on Facebook. This is when I used to actually be on Facebook. And I remember some of the stories that the women were telling that I was just like, I'd be daggone. Some were really unfortunate. I mean, well, all of them were really unfortunate. Some, you could just tell that the person who took advantage of them saw their naivete and their desperation.
Oh, yeah.
Because some were situations where I was just like, girl, wait, why didn't you leave? What had happened? But some people, the predators know how to sniff out who can be easily influenced and who has a really hard time with just a no, with just a period and a no and leaving. They're
conditioned in it because they've been doing it for so long.
There are a lot of people, and I'm not just talking about inside of this industry. There are people who have that as a personality that just like, well, I didn't want to, you know, say. There was something that happened recently where I'm not going to say too much of it, and it doesn't have anything to do with anything sexual or sexual violence. But there was something that happened that and kind of involved me and my sisters in a passive way that I was like, I had to tell my mama, hey, I'm going to need you to get this corrected because I don't want this to happen again. And so my mother was sending a message to that person, and it was coming off to like, you know, if it's possible. I said, no, that's not it. And I said, give me the phone. Started texting it. Do not do this again. Thanks for all your love and support. Period. I've realized that, like, it's the both. It's one, making sure predators have the fear of the consequence of if you do this, you will. If you do this and we find out, your money, your power is not going to save you from the repercussions. Mm-hmm. And then the other side of the coin is helping those who are victims or victimized understand when they're being taken advantage of before they end up in it so deep that it's hard to get off the hamster wheel. Because that's the biggest thing with this Jane Doe, is that when you hear it, eventually as a listener, you kind of get exhausted because you're just like, girl, no, don't go back. What? Like, yeah. Even though this has all already happened, but when you listen to it, you're like, no, why? But you understand the behavior of a victim, and you understand that things are not always binary. Things are not always this easy black and white thing of, he asked, you said no, you walked away. Sometimes it's he asked, you said no. He said, okay.
Yeah.
You said, all right. He makes you feel bad. You're like, oh, but I love you. He's like, no, that's fine. And then you're like, I want to change the situation and just give you what you want. Like, sometimes people don't understand that, like.
And then it definitely don't help the prosecution when you got people that's caught in blatant lies. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of just saying, I don't remember when this happened, they say a time and a date. Like the one that said she was held over the balcony or something. Yeah. And it's just like, well, when you said you was held over the balcony on that day, both before, during, and after that situation, they were actually in a completely different state across the country.
Yeah.
So it's like situations like that now that was caught, and it's like, well, it's going to be hard to convince people of this other thing. So it's easy for us, like for people not on that jury, to say, nope, this is what it is. Because when, like I said, the judge will instruct you, it has to be this specific thing. It can't be on, it's the wheel of fortune. Whatever that tab is on, that's what it has to land on. It can't be the one beside it or the one on the other side. It has to be on that one. Ain't no in between for anything to stick. So yeah, and that, my other thing is I'm always curious of, now they're going through this whole trial and other people that I brought up, will this bring on other charges from other people? Like, will things come to light?
I mean, he's got a lot of, I say a lot. There were multiple lawsuits coming at him at one point in time after Cassie. A lot of them didn't have enough weight to even be, and now this has his attention, so he ain't about to be trying to pay out nobody while he's doing this, but.
I don't know, it's, yeah.
I think this was the one thing that I had wanted to figure out before I got here, because I knew I was going to bring this up for our, like, either TikTok o'clock or longer portion. There's a portion of Jane Doe's testimony where she refers to a trip she took on a rapper's private jet to celebrate the rapper's girlfriend or wife. And while in Las Vegas, because that's what they flew to celebrate at a party, she noticed one of the men that she typically engaged in sexual activities with for her and Diddy's pleasure was legitimately having intercourse in the middle of the party for everyone to view with someone at the party. And the court would not allow for the name of said rapper and girlfriend to be said in the courtroom. That, like, the defense asked for it not to be said, while prosecution wanted, was just like, yes. And they were like, no, you're just trying to make more of a spectacle. Anyways, finally deduced who it was. Guess who it was? So it's a rapper who is well known enough that they have a private jet. And them having a private jet makes sense. You're not like, make that much money.
Yeah.
And their wife or girlfriend, which that kept being the thing of, what is this person?
It's got to be Kanye.
That is what I started to see. There was some
as he's the only one that people don't know. It's like, anybody else, it would have been a definite girlfriend, baby mama, or wife. He was like, now what is this lady you done turned into a mannequin?
And what's so crazy is because at first there was some misinformation, and when I first heard it, I was like, that doesn't make sense. They were trying to make the husband and the wife rappers. And I was like, that doesn't
seem
like
what
I'm...
Her birthday is in January, too.
Oh, because that's what everybody... I'm telling everybody, putting it out. They put it out there.
I'm hearing this for the first time. I didn't even know this.
And
well, you said it, but you didn't know either.
And if I'm quoting what I'm Not a Lawyer But put out, is that said rapper eventually asked Jane Doe if they had any referrals to anybody else in that lifestyle that they could hire.
And again, that don't surprise me.
Listen.
That don't surprise me at all.
I just was like.
At this point, that boy could have brought animals up in there to do some things with. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, the way the kink that it seems like he gets out of having his wife, girlfriend, in public with...
Oh, you're talking about Yay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nude, or looking in a way that he knows will be ridiculed, he knows will be, like, spoken about harshly. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not... There'll be maybe 2% of the voices that are going to say something positive.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like a kink of, like, I want you to look so bad so that people can talk about you. It feels like...
No, he's everything. Kanye's even said it in his music. He needs the attention. He thrives off of that. Whether it's good or bad, he don't care. He wants to be mentioned. He wants to be talked about. He wants to be relevant. It seems like an addiction. Like, so he's going to do whatever.
Well, my whole thing is, then you be naked. Don't make her be naked. You go out there in a stocking pants and stocking shirt.
That was, I've talked to like a few people that brought this. I don't know why this conversation keeps happening around me, but they were just like, they don't understand. Like, even on the Diddy side of everything, it was like, there's women out there, they'll be willing to do any and all of this for absolutely nothing, or you could just pay them and, you know, it wouldn't be anything behind it. But I'm like, that's the whole power trip of it. Yeah. It's the me getting you to do something that you don't want to do. That's the power trip. This is like, they don't want to be, it's like the T-Rex thing. T-Rex doesn't want to be fed. He wants to hunt in Jurassic Park. Like they don't want to people to just cater to them. They want the challenge of, you don't want to be here now, I'm going to make you want to be here. Or some of them even have the thing of, you don't want to be here, good. I like that.
Yeah.
You're uncomfortable. I like to see that. That, you know, it's a sickness in my opinion.
I don't see this. Seti B says that Kanye has an album called Cuck. I don't see that in his album discography. Oh, my goodness. Anyways, this has all been.
I'm just thinking about the detail. Is she still called Jane Doe? Like, everybody know who she is now, right?
Yeah, but we keep it as Jane okay. Doe because.
The detail that she has went into.
Oh, no, he does have an album called Cuck. I see it now. It came out in this year.
C-U-C-K?
Yeah, for Cuckold.
For what?
Cuckold. Cuckold is a man who enjoys the, who gets pleasure from watching their wife, girlfriend, whoever they are, mm-hmm. Being pleased by another man.
What was I saying? Oh, also, just the detail that Jane Doe is going into of the stuff that this man enjoys. Mm. Oh, my God. It's just.
mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot.
I can't.
So the trial has had
how did it happen?
Well, it was on when you talked earlier, and I was wondering if you were going to silence it. It did the yeah, like you when you get like a text or alert.
It did?
Yes,
I didn't hear that.
And I looked at you, and you just kept talking. I was like,
I didn't
hear
it. gross is an understatement.
I'm telling you now. I was like 8 days behind, maybe. No, I was probably more like 6 days behind. I hadn't been paying no attention to the trial, and then I was like, oh, it's still happening. And Melanie went, let me watch, and it has rotten my mind. I'm like, oh God, just listening to Melanie talk about it, I want to be like, make it faster, Mel. I don't want to hear.
I know. I was talking to them, and they was even saying, because you know they'll show the jurors have their own little screen. So every time they throw up evidence of a video or something, they was like, it got to the point to where people stopped looking at the screen. It's like, we get it. Like, we don't want to see no more. It was like people would literally like turn and not even look. It's
a lot. And oh, yes, same thing. We were just talking about that in the car, Adrian. I was like, I feel for his children. And Marcus was like, they already knew. I said, the guys might have known a lot of it.
I don't even think I remembered he had daughters.
He has three.
Three daughters.
No, he has four because he has a baby now too.
So I was, I definitely didn't know about the baby. I was curious, or when she said that, I was assuming, I knew his sons were, I don't know, mid, late 20s?
Yeah.
Something like that. So I'm like, there's no way he's doing all of this and he have daughters around that same age and they can be completely oblivious to what's going on. The fact that his son got caught on camera dragging some girl by her hair across the pool grounds or something. I'm like, no, they not completely oblivious. You ain't hiding this much of this kind of lifestyle from an adult.
Yeah, no, I definitely think the boys are probably aware of some of it and probably witness or experience some of the explosive abusive behavior. Because I feel like abusive behavior is definitely harder to hide than a sexual kink.
Yeah.
But when I think about his daughters, the twins that just graduated from Sierra Canyon, and then there's another little girl who I think is maybe just a little bit younger than them.
How can you even have daughters? How can you have this mindset with daughters? I don't know.
But it's definitely a thing of like, this is the type of stuff that you definitely don't ever want to imagine your parent doing or hearing about it and knowing the rest of the world is hearing about it.
Yeah.
It almost feels like a shadow that you cannot detach yourself from, you did not create. Yeah.
No, you now have an aura and everybody can see it.
Yeah, I do. I really do feel for them. And while I don't necessarily feel like, to be honest, that any of this is my business, I do appreciate the fact that it is being talked about so much just to make other powerful men more afraid. Just on that alone, I'm like, well, I don't really need to know all this. I hope that fear just seeps into the heart of men and women who have allowed this type of behavior to go on so long without any type of repercussion.
I mean, but he was still deeply, heavily involved in all this and doing these things even after the first two that we talked about, like long after the Me Too thing, you know what I'm saying?
Well, again, Me Too in the Hollywood industry is very different than music because there's no oversight.
Yeah.
So, again, wow. I don't feel like none of this is any of my business. What they did with each other, what he shouldn't have done, ain't really none of mine. But I am glad that it is being broadcast, even though I feel bad for his children, just because I hope the consequences of his actions, because you got to understand, we've been in a society where our president, who has done disgusting things, became president in spite of all those things. So yeah,
apparently his name is in some of these, not the Diddy's documents, but the other Epstein, documents. Yeah. Epstein.
So there was a pendulum that was starting. There was a pendulum that started to swing in the wrong direction because it was just like, oh, wait. You can get away with anything and hold the highest office to literally, ever exist.
Literally, which is absolutely disgusting. Like,
you can be impeached. You can be fired from this job and get the job back.
Right.
So it's like, okay, there's this pendulum. Obviously, we're dealing with a white man versus a black man. So there is a difference. However, everybody was being affected by that type of thing of watching a man do whatever the hell he wanted to and being rewarded on the other end. So I'm here for
rewarded and praised.
So I'm here for the pitchforks and the burning torches right now to hopefully make the next person or the next person realize, hey, if I got this kink, I got to find somebody who wants to do this with me, regardless of if I have money, regardless of that you just want to do this nasty stuff with me. Okay? I am not about to beat you. I'm not about to pay your bills because of it. We just going to do this nasty stuff together.
Matter of fact, email and text me everything you want to do and everything we did before and after and confirm that everything was Gucci.
Because
at least I can say, well, then you see right here, I know she changed her mind, but right here,
I was a little confused, but this, oh God, but
it's,
yeah.
Oh my God.
It's definitely some type of terrible. And, I feel for the jury that's having, mad if I was a jury member. They're having to watch the tapes.
Yeah,
that's what I said. They're having to hear all the audio.
I imagine at the very beginning, depending on who you are, it may have started off a little entertaining. And then, like, I don't know, the fifth day? Nah, this movie's too long. Well, this ain't no movie. This is real life. But
right. Well, because I'm sure some of them want to work the trial because this will be a payday for them when they get off because they can sell their story.
Right.
Nah, I'd rather do Patreon.
Yeah.
I'd rather grow up a Patreon. Yeah. I do not want to ever have to watch and listen to that much. And
Can jurors sue for emotional distress? Who would they sue, though? The state? The court? They would have to sue the court because it's not the person making them watch it. It'd be the court watching them. But that's an interesting question.
No. because nothing is being done.
Yeah, as many summons as I've gotten, that's probably something I done read the whole thing. It don't say nothing about it. It's just like, no, this is your duty as a civilian.
Yeah.
We're going to find you if you don't show up.
One dude's about to get kicked off the jury because he moved. He said he lived in the Bronx, which is a jurisdiction you have to live in order to be selected for jury duty. But he was talking to one of the court staff, like having a friendly conversation, and mentioned he had just moved to Jersey. And so when they asked, he was like, well, no, I have all my bills go to the Bronx. I stay with my aunt in the Bronx 4 to 5 days out of the week. So there's no reason. So the fact that he's giving excuses not to be removed.
Yeah.
They're like, there's something up with it. The judge hasn't said, well, at least not to my knowledge, hasn't made any, ruling on that. But yeah, these people, there are people who are going to more than likely get a payday, and they know it. First of all, I beat them, fell asleep. I can't do all that talking. They would kick me out just off of the juror number 7. If you fall asleep again, this is your you'll be held in contempt of court. Oh, he has been removed. Yep, it's over.
I'm going to tell you what, it can get, you can get sleepy. When I get sleepy, I get very physical. Like, I have to move around and adjust, or I will pass all the way out. And it can get hard to stay awake. But this is I don't know.
At least they're not sequestered. They can go home.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, I think with the... who's OJ, they were sequestered. So they had to stay at a hotel room. They couldn't have contact with the outside world.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
With this one, they can go home. They can keep their phones. Mm. All of that stuff is fine.
Them things being watched like crazy. It's federal. They watching your text, everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now there's certain things they can't do, but they're not being, restricted and held. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's when I was on, I probably told y'all this before, when I was on jury duty, I didn't realize it until they brought it up. This was probably the second day sitting in that courtroom, and one of the attorneys recognized me because I was chief engineer over the building that he had an office at one point in time. And I remember... you know, they dismissed the jury. I was like, because I was juror number 1. I tried my best to get out of that damn thing. And the excuse I came up with, everybody else, I just set the bar and everybody else just jumped over my bar trying to get out of jury duty. They was like, why can't you do it? I was like, well, you know, I got my job. You know, they don't even allow jury. You know, they don't pay you for this. And I got to feed my family. Everybody else is like, I have a sickness. I have to be in the hospital. I hate cops. Like, they were just... like, these lying son of a bitch. But anyway.
What kept me from doing jury duty multiple times, I never got to the point where I had to go to court, was breastfeeding them babies every time. I am the only source of food for my
Look,
child.
And I would have been sitting there like, this lying ass have shit. Well, no kids.
That's what you've been thinking. Yeah. I pulled out my breast and squirted it. See?
Nah, I watch videos. They do it all the time. It ain't nothing. No, but they... So I'm sitting there, and they dismissed all the jurors at one point and kept the staff. They was like, juror number 1, you stay. I was like, what now? I was like, oh, maybe they're going to send me home. And there was this like, so it was come to our attention, and they just like, do you recognize this term, whatever? And I was like, I do. And then they just had to make sure that there was never any payments between. Mm-hmm. I said, outside of some Halloween candy at the reception desk, I ain't ever took nothing from him. But I was like, can you fairly, you know, do it? And I was against them anyway. by the end of it, I was like, no, the plaintiff got, no, y'all on some bull. The defendant. Yeah, the defendant, it was in the right. Y'all on some bull. But
Seti B is right. Good people do need to serve on juries, and I'm not opposed to, but during that time when my kids were young, I was like, y'all, I don't know who gonna watch these kids, so y'all gonna have to leave me alone. My mother, she was like, I don't want to serve on jury because I'm gonna want to let everybody off. And this, she was telling this to a defense attorney. She said, and you're the type of person that I would pick. She was like, you should serve. She was like, you should serve. We need people like that. She said, because there are people who think everyone is guilty. If they are being charged, they are guilty. She was like, so we need some people who are there that is just like, no, don't. Your Marcus's dad loves serving on juries.
He couldn't wait.
Love.
Yeah, we sent that son of a bitch to prison. Yeah, I said this uncle. Now he wasn't Uncle Ruggers, but you would have thought like Daddy was just like, now what? I said, Lord Jesus.
Yes, he used to love it. That was his patriotic duty. Them jury notices come in, call me up.
Yeah, hit me up. But even the judge was like, nah, we gonna keep that fool up out of my courtroom. Now he did. I don't know who they sent to prison, but they sent somebody to prison back in the 90s. Now, see, when I served, this was just a civil suit. And it literally did. When I think back about that, the jurors in that room, it was literally the previous election. It was 12 of us, and you had the first four was they was on the plaintiff. Like, no, the HOA's in the right. The other four, it was me, another black dude, a Latino dude, and I think a white lady was on the defendant. Like, no, they was cool. Then the mother four was undecided. But because the lady over here on the plaintiff side said she was an attorney. Oh, no, she said she was a paralegal. And she deals with these cases. People just, well, the four that was undecided was like, well, she must know what she's talking about. And I was in there. I said, they was like, well, we just feel, and this is how I knew they didn't know what the hell they was talking about. We just feel like that homeowner, he just seems like he's you see his suit. He just seems like he just tried to get away with something like this. I said, we are not here to judge the asshole's character, even if he is an asshole. I said, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. I had to pull it back because I was like, I'm going to get kicked out of jury for calling them stupid. But
well,
I was like,
you should have.
Yeah, I probably should have. I said, that's stupid. I said, we're not here to judge who he is. We're here to judge what he done. Well, if they have the rules, I said, if the rules were black and white, we wouldn't be sitting here. Where does it say he cannot do this? It doesn't. What the hell are y'all talking about? And then the other dude went in, the Latino dude was like, I don't understand how y'all not seeing this.
Listen, Marcus said, and we'll end it after this. This end up taking up the whole thing, but I thought it would. I was like, I think I want to talk about this today. But anyways, the Karen app, as I call it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The Karen app is what I call it.
What's it called? Neighbors.
You know, out here in California, and I'll let Marcus tell the story. I'll just set the base of it. As you all know, ICE, and if you don't know what ICE stands for, I'm going to tell you because I'm going to look it up so I can tell you the appropriate name. ICE stands...
Immigration Control and Execution.
It's the execution enforcement. It is U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Jesus. they have been tasked with removing, and I'm putting in air quotes if you're listening, the illegal immigrants that are apparently doing all this crime in the United States. And so what they've been doing in California, where we obviously have a very large Latino population, they have been pretty much just removing people from their homes, their workplace, from the hospital.
Yeah. Schools.
Without any probable cause, just because they look Latino can be enough for them to be like, you coming up out.
Has nothing to do with criminal activity.
So it has been.
That's why it's a nationwide protest.
Right. So obviously there have been protests, a lot of them in downtown LA. There's been some in the valley where there are people like on the corners with signs, you know, saying F ICE. They're saying this.
It's the No Kings. What's it called?
Protest. Yeah, but please tell them about the app.
I hate the app. I really do, because we can clearly see. We call the current app properly so, just by the stuff that they be posting on there, and the way they be wording it. I'd have had posts taken down because I'll go on there and say something, and then I get a notice. This has been removed. Please respect. Anyway, so yesterday, the day before, somebody posted a picture of a white SUV. And I can't see. I think the place may have said exempt. I'm not sure. But it looked like a solid white, like possible, like official vehicle, like for law enforcement. And they put on there is like, can anyone tell me if this is ice or not? This they was like, I've seen a couple of these. Can anybody tell me this is ice? And the amount of people on there saying, hopefully so. Yeah, they need to come get all of them. Hopefully so. Hopefully it was so many. I hope it is ice. I hope it is ice. And I was just like, wow. So finally it was some kind. And none of those had likes, but a lot of people were saying it. And then it was like people that got on there and was like, well, it's so disgusting to see how many hateful people we have on here. And I was about to post, and it makes me not feel bad about y'all's property getting vandalized, the type of people I see up on here.
Hope you continue to get broken into.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that app is just like, you see, like, oh, y'all so disgusting.
Yeah. It is definitely a crazy time. It's so interesting how easily people will jump on. If you give them an enemy, how quickly people just, without cause, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, blame being shifted to a people can make these very ignorant and racist folk just be like, oh, yeah. Like,
oh, yeah. They waiting on a reason.
Yeah.
They just waiting on that reason. Give me a reason to be able to say this out loud. Even most of them don't.
Give me an enemy. If you give people an enemy, you will find the hate that really resides in people. And the hate, you've never seen them show it like this before. Like, right. As far as in...
Bush did it after the 9/11?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Literally, like, the first country that comes out, it could have been Canada. We just have to make an enemy. That's all we have to do. And it'll be very easy.
It is insane. We've never made domestic terrorists the poster child for the enemy in this country. Ever.
Right.
Ever. I still do not know how the Confederate is not in public enemy number one.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. I'm like,
for real, this should be like, it literally should be illegal to fly a flag that is an enemy of the country.
And you know what Nisha said? They're mad at blacks for not participating. I think that's propaganda.
That is.
I feel like.
Because I be seeing all kinds of black folk.
Well, and I.
It might be some.
And no, and this is the thing. I don't think there's actually a lot of people that are upset that black people are not participating. That's the same narrative they threw during the Palestinian protest. They were like, where are all the black people? This is the type of stuff that I feel like is easily said because then it creates another enemy.
Yep.
Because again, they can't just have white folk disliking brown people. Mm-hmm. They've got to have brown and black people disliking each other, right? Because that is actually more productive. So I honestly don't think there are a lot of Latino people looking at black people like, where are y'all?
Right.
I do not think that's the case. I think that is the propaganda that's being spewed so that we believe, oh, so now y'all just, now are there black people who are fully feeding into that propaganda that are like, we sitting this one out? Absolutely, but those people would have set out on...
Regardless.
Or it could have been something about us.
Yeah.
Those are the same people that are
They set out on BLM. They set out on everything.
They set out on the election. Yeah. So those are the people who are already going to be talking hateful rhetoric when it comes to race relations. But I definitely feel as though that's not really the overall sentiment. And also, because don't nobody ever be checking for us at any time. Like, what are we talking about?
Nah, and we be here supporting and helping every damn body. I sent this. Did y'all see that? This dude, he was talking about how he asked ChatGPT if he were to come down.
Part of me thinks that's not real.
You don't think it's real? I'm going to ask it.
Ask it, but I the way it kept going in back and forth from we to I was just like,
it might not be real.
I was but it like, makes this, sense. I mean, it sounds great, and we love hearing shit like that. But I was like, either ChatGPT knew this was a black man, or he had ChatGPT write the response. I was like, but it feels great, but. Yeah. No, ChatGPT thought that Kamala Harris was a Delta. So that lets me know.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, I was like, give me all the notable Deltas. And I'm looking at the names, and I'm like, these people, a lot of these women I dealt with, so I highly doubt it gave that poetic response of the trials and tribulations. And when I think about what ties us to the universe, I think about black people. Well, Chaka Khan is not a Delta. So yeah. How did you get there?
Stevie Wonder ain't chat. He said, y'all are our children. At the BET Awards. Steve Wonder said, black people, we are the blueprint. Y'all are our children.
He said, white people, brown people.
All
Asian,
y'all.
Y'all are our children.
You're welcome.
Said, period. Moved on to another topic.
And it went on.
I said, what? What are you talking about? Okay. Anyway, no, Shay, I did correct ChatGPT multiple times. I said, that's not correct. Please check your references. These people aren't. Oh, my bad. You're correct. Here's a better list.
And now she is SG Rowe.
They didn't add in more people. Added again some more wrong people. Put some of the people I said was wrong back on. My ChatGPT is.
First of all, ChatGPT can only research what people. The AI of it comes from us. It learns from people saying or, you know, putting stuff on the internet, and it takes that information and creates a quote unquote fact. Mm-hmm. Google works the same way. There's been songs people don't understand. There's been songs people will like Curtis Mayfield. People think he did the song Superfly. No, it wasn't Superfly. Da-da-da. It was another song that everybody thinks is a Curtis Mayfield song, and it's absolutely not. Mm. By any means, but you Google it, and that's the rendition that it brings up. I can't remember what song it was, but anyway, all of that stuff learns from stuff that you put up.
Yeah.
So if enough people don't know, and they just say, black for a sorority, Delta's probably one of the most popular. It was like, well, she must be that. She getting a black sorority, so there you go.
I mean, they were. Take I was that. Like, no, it's not the. Oh, you're correct. I'm so sorry. That thing be lying all the time. That's what all of a Mission Impossible was about, was an AI that became sentient.
Yeah, that's every movie that's in that era. Yeah, Skynet from Terminator. I Am Legend. No, I Robot.
That's not right. Listen, it happens. It happens. All right, you guys, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Let us know what you are thinking about this whole Jane Doe, the government versus Sean Combs. It's all crazy. And if you're not watching it, tell us that too. If you're like, girl, I ain't paying no attention to it, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. We get it.
All right. We will see you all next week. And if you're in Kentucky, come on, stop through at Soul Feast, where I'll be hosting on stage on Saturday in the late afternoon, early evening. You can check out shopmamalikes.com as well. What you got, baby?
Hey, y'all know where y'all can find me. You can find my building body butter, manshit, manshyt.com, and check that out. And, I'm going to have something else coming. Patreon knows what it is, but still working on the ins and outs. Hopefully I'll have something this week to get to y'all.
All right, beautiful people. We shall talk to you laters. Bye.
Y'all have a good one, fam.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.